so that we do that. Well, we're glad to have you back tonight. Brother Stewart is going to come and preach for us. I asked him to show his DVD again because some of you may not have got a chance to see it because you were in Sunday school somewhere else. So he's going to show that again tonight as well, and then he'll preach for us again. I enjoyed his Sunday school class this morning. I mean, I really did. And I appreciated his philosophy that he brought out in that lesson. So, brother, why don't you come? And did you say your wife sings? Is that what you said?
We both sing.
Do you? Yes. You can sing if you want to sing. Because the girl that was going to sing for us, she's in Texas. So if you want to sing, you're welcome to. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can. All right?
Millions grow pintar. Okay. We don't have a pianist. No, you're fine.
Millions grope in darkness, searching for thy word. Blinded by their sinfulness, lost in the night. Will you go and tell them of God's love divine? Searching for the lost man, for God's love to shine. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Lift up your eyes, your life to yield. The harvest is white, oh, can't you see? The lost soul's plight for all eternity. It's not always easy following the Lord, laying up your treasure on the golden shore. But worldly wealth and pleasures cannot take the place of the joys of sharing in God's saving grace. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Lift up your eyes, your life to yield. The harvest is white, oh, can't you see? The lost soul's plight for all eternity. Lift up your eyes.
Oh, can't you see the lost soul's plight for all eternity?
For those of you who cannot speak two languages at the same time, that's hard. Jésus leur dit, allez pour tout le monde et prêchez le bon nouveau à toute la création. Mark says, comes, and Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This morning, Pastor Matt, she's going to interpret, not myself. I was an interpreter. I can pick on them. He asked me about, or he was talking about a time when you would weep over lost souls. And I was a guest speaker at the American School for the Deaf my senior year in college. And I got to speak to a group of kids who had already been through Catholic classes. They had been through Christian classes. The topic I was asked to talk about was prayer. As a Christian, we ought to know a thing or two about talking to Jesus Christ, talking to God the Father. So I was using as a foundation, as a throwaway line, to help them get on the same page. I asked them the simple question, you know that Jesus loves you, right? And they sat there and didn't say a word. Well, we know, we sing that song all the time. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Right? We sing that when we're kids. And so I ask again, I said, you know, I'm pushing my eyebrows up because that's how you ask a question. Exaggerating to get the point across. And I says, you know, Jesus, God's son, he loves you, right? And a little boy sitting on the front row looks at me and says, no, God doesn't love us. Not one other child helped him or said anything different. My heart, when I saw that, and I could not continue teaching that message. That's when God broke my heart. Amen. My heart for Amen. The deaf. That was here in America. The need is so great. And I'm thankful for this church who has interpreters who can help. But I want to quickly encourage you. Men, we need you in the deaf ministry. You see two deaf men sitting there. I'm going to embarrass them now. You see them. You know, men, we have dangers in our lives, trouble, sin, that's specific to us. They're not going to want a woman interpreter with them talking to pastor for them. When men have that in their lives, and especially deaf men, they need other men. Okay? We need you. We need you in deaf ministry. It is very, very, very important. That's all I'll say about that. Right now, we'll show the DVD, and then I'll bring forth a message, and we ask that God would bless our time. Thank you.
In Mark 16:15, the Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Spread throughout the world is a people group that has been largely forgotten. While some groups and individuals are being reached for Christ, countless others slip away into eternity without Him. The deaf are such a group. The deaf are everywhere, here in America and on every mission field around the world. These precious souls for whom the Lord died need to know of His free gift of salvation. Statistics tell us that approximately 400 deaf will die today, and less than 1% have ever seen a clear presentation of the gospel. God has called many missionaries to start churches throughout the world. Many have obeyed and been successful in evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. Unfortunately, those who are deaf are normally not reached with the gospel and may literally live and die within the shadow of a gospel-preaching church. Who will reach these deaf with the gospel? Gabon is located in West Central Africa, surrounded by Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea, and the Congo. Gabon received their independence from France in 1969 and is one of the most prosperous African nations. It is also one of the few African countries never to engage in civil war. While most of the people are descendants from freed slaves, the Gabonese are still enslaved to another master, the master of sin. There are approximately 1.7 million people in Gabon today. The majority of them profess French Catholicism with growing Muslim and charismatic influences. Once missionaries had flooded the coastal city of Libreville, but without proper training and discipleship, the churches soon fell to moral and political corruption in the absence of the missionary. Statistics and surveys show that there are no Baptist churches in Gabon today, but a new generation has sprung up, one eager to learn the truths of God's word. Gabon has been prepared for revival. During our survey trip of Gabon, the Lord directed us to the office of the Minister of Social Affairs. She listened with interest as we explained that we plan to return to Gabon in a few years to tell the deaf about Jesus and establish churches. She told us that she had been praying for years for someone to come and tell her people about Jesus. We are Bruce and Amanda Stewart. God has called us to reach the deaf in Gabon, Africa. I was born and raised in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. At an early age, I saw my need of a friend and a savior through Jesus Christ. God gave me a heart for missions, and while I prayed about where He would send me, the Lord placed the country of Gabon on my heart. As I was guest speaking at the American School for the Deaf in Hartford, Connecticut, I saw deaf children that didn't know whether or not God loved them, and this broke my heart. Torn between the hearing and the deaf, I sought godly counsel, and after a time of prayer, God directed me to focus my ministry on reaching the deaf, having faith in God to send more laborers to Gabon to reach the hearing.
I was born and raised in a Christian home in Torrington, Connecticut. My parents took me to church every time the doors were open, and at an early age, I realized that I was a sinner destined for hell. At the young age of 4, I knelt beside my bed after a church service and asked Jesus to save me. As I grew older, many doubts began to plague my mind. I wondered if I had been too young to fully understand salvation. One night, I could not handle all my doubts anymore. I opened my Bible and read John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That night, I prayed one final time and claimed the Lord's promise in that verse. I do not trust in my feelings anymore, but I trust the precious promise of God given to me in His Word. I began learning sign language when I was 12. My heart was broken for all the deaf who had never heard about Jesus. At the 2010 Deaf Nation World Expo, God began burdening my heart for foreign deaf missions. I struggled with the idea for several months, but finally in October, I surrendered to go where God would have me.
In 2012, Amanda and I were married and joined Tabernacle Baptist Church of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We have served as interpreters for the deaf, taught peewee clubs, a new believers course and Sunday school class, as well as having been involved in personal discipleship and soul winning. We're excited to have Tabernacle Baptist Church commission us for the ministry in Gabon to which God has called us.
Hi, I'm Pastor Joel Long of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We would like you to consider Bruce and Amanda Stewart, missionaries to Gabon, Africa. Bruce is an excellent preacher, a man of God, and desires to serve the Lord with all of his heart. His wife, Amanda, does well with the ladies and the children's ministries. Please prayerfully consider taking them on as your missionaries to Gabon, Africa. Thank you.
Tabernacle Baptist Church ordained me in the gospel ministry on July 27, 2014. In the summer of 2014, we joined Silent Word Ministries International, a mission agency focused on reaching the deaf of this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. After joining Silent Word Ministries, God led us to leave our jobs and attend Baptist Bible Translator Institute to hone our skills in learning foreign and tribal languages and to withstand the tides of culture shock. Why learn foreign languages if we are going to the deaf? Because God doesn't waste anything we offer Him, and the ability to witness to the deaf and their hearing friends and family will prove invaluable when it comes time to disciple and turn over local works to national pastors. Our ministry goals are to reach lost souls, particularly the deaf, with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to establish local, indigenous, Bible-believing churches for the deaf and their hearing families, to train national pastors and leaders, and to train illiterate deaf to read and write so they might grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
On our survey trip to Gabon, I enjoyed visiting the deaf school and talking with the children. One moment I will never forget is when one deaf girl asked me to stay, and she would teach me sign language if I would teach her about God. I love the people of Gabon and cannot wait to return and tell them about the Lord.
Amanda and I are thrilled to take the good news of salvation to a lost and dying world. Please prayerfully consider your part in reaching this country with the gospel and investing in our mission to reach those who have never heard the message of salvation through Jesus Christ.
Have your Bibles with you, or you want to use one that's in front of the pew, I'd ask that you turn to Mark chapter 7 with me this evening. I see many of you came back even after I said what I did about hunters. So I guess in order to reward you, I'll tell you an African hunting joke. How's that sound? All right. A group of four hunters from the Zulu tribe decided they were going to go hunting for wild pig. And they went out hunting, and they found a pig, and they entrapped it, they speared it, they killed it, they gutted it, they cut it up, they put it in a big pot, and they cooked it with some raw vegetables. And after about a couple of hours after all that was done stewing and it smelled good, they poured it into bowls and they ate it, and they went back for seconds and thirds. And pretty soon the dog walks up, he looks in the pot, and he says, "It's all gone." Some of you got that. Great. All right. How many of you got that? Dogs don't talk. Oh, my. It's going to be one of those crowds. Okay. When you travel around, you actually learn different groups of people have different types of humor. One more example of that, and then we'll get to something more serious. Here's a deaf joke. Deaf man's driving his car down the road. He looks up, and he sees the two telephone lines on both sides of the road. On one of them, the birds are all sitting. On the other, the birds are hopping. That's a joke. I know you wouldn't get that. I'm sorry. You see, in the old days with TTY, they'd be typing. So over here, the communication's steady. Birds sit there. It's smooth. It's calm. It's flowing. Over here, tick, 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 tick. Okay? Okay. Pastor, this is great. They're humoring me. Oh, they only get worse. Mark chapter 7, looking at verse 31. The Bible says, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseeched him to put his hand upon him." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us to both preach and hear your word. Lord, we're asking now that you bless the time. May it be fruitful to us. May we just apply what we hear and be changed and not simply challenged. Lord, we're asking that you would be honored and glorified through everything that's said and done here tonight. We ask these things in Christ, our Savior's name. Amen. Jesus Christ has just left. He was there. You had the maniac of Gadara. He heals the man, casts the demons into a herd of swine. The swine, obviously possessed by devils, runs into the Sea of Galilee and is drowned. The people seeing this come up and they find the maniac who they've tried to bound, sitting clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he has to say. And they were afraid. And they said, "Depart from us. We're afraid. We don't want anything to do with you." And Jesus, being the gentleman that he is, does not stay where he's not wanted. And he gets into the boat to depart. Well, as he's getting in the boat, the Bible says that the man tries to get in the boat with Christ and says, "Let me become as one of your followers." And Jesus forbids it. He says, "No, go your way to your friends and your family and show them what great things the Lord had done for you. Because he's coming back." See, many of you might not have been saved from the dregs of society, but he has saved you. You know that. It would be great if at the moment of salvation, man, we would just step into the shadow of Jesus Christ and never leave it ever again. Oh, let's go right to heaven. And yet, God says, "No. I want you to go and tell your friends and family what I've done for you. Because I'm coming again." He goes over There's a couple of miracles that take place. Jairus' daughter, the woman with the issue of blood. And Jesus then comes back. And when he comes back, now there's a whole crowd waiting for him, no doubt evident of the testimony of this man who was ransomed or saved from these devils. And now there's a whole throng of people that have come around him. And Matthew says that they bring, you know, all the blind, the sick, the lame, the deaf, the dumb. But Mark narrows it down to this deaf man because Christ does something with this deaf man that they weren't expecting. And for someone who has a heart for deaf ministry, and like I said, we start churches, we plant churches for hearing, we plant churches for deaf, it doesn't matter who they are, we want to give them the gospel. And so if I'm going to have a heart for deaf ministry and looking at deaf ministry, I ought to have Christ's view of deaf ministry and to see how he handled himself and what he did. Well, before we get to Christ, there's actually something we can learn from the crowd. And I know, Pastor, learning from the crowd, that's a bad idea. You know, if you follow the crowd, you'll just be swept away with it. And, but that all being said and being true, there are two things from this crowd that we can learn, and if we apply them to our lives, you'll actually see a large increase in your outreach ministry, personally, as you go out and you reach lost souls for Christ. The first is which, the Bible says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Now, obviously, yes, this was a deaf man they brought to him. But in your own personal life, you need to be the one to bring people to Jesus. You see, there are people you know, friends, families, coworkers, neighbors, loved ones, enemies, that the only hope that they have in ever changing, the only hope that they have for eternity can only be found in Jesus Christ. But alone, they'll never come to the place where Christ will be. They need people like you who have been left here as a testimony of the Son of God and his saving power. They need you to bring them to a place like this church. They need you to bring them to a place like John 3:16 in their own home. They need people like you who are willing to invest the time and money and effort to get them to a place where they can meet Jesus Christ. We have gospel tracts out there. Brother Bob, I believe it was showing me the John and Romans out there and what a wonderful ministry that is. I'm so grateful for that, brother. But there's a second step. The Bible then says they went and they beseeched him to put his hands upon him. It's one thing to go out and hand gospel tracts out at doors or at restaurants. It is something altogether different when you come before the throne of grace and you say, Lord, touch their lives. Move in their life. Make yourself real to them. Sometimes the Lord may wait and see if you're really going to be concerned with their souls. Sometimes he may wait a long time. Because while he does say this, and there's a universal promise found in the Bible. The Bible says, first of all, in Peter, that God is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That verse alone proves to me that I cannot be a Calvinist. Because if I were a Calvinist, and God picks and chooses who he saves, and that verse is in the Bible, then it's heaven for all, despite what you do, despite what you've done. Because it clearly says his will is that none should perish. But alas, I'm not Calvinist, and so there are souls that hinge this very night on the brink of hell. There's a second verse. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that if you ask anything according to his purpose, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, we are assured a petition with him. The thing petition there means that we are assured that he hears and will work on the thing we've asked for. So is it God's will that all be saved? Yes, it is. If we pray according to his will that God saves that coworker or that neighbor, that friend, that family member, that son and daughter, that enemy who you just rub the wrong way every time you go to work. If you pray that God would touch their hearts to the point of salvation, does God hear that prayer? Will God force them to be saved? No, not at all. Will he at least work on their heart? Yes, he will. And that's the lesson you can learn from the crowd in Mark chapter 7. Now, like I just said, God does not force anyone to be saved. We talked about this morning, God wants a loving relationship, not a robot, to do his bidding. And brother, I can be guilty of it, going into the ministry, doing the ministry like a robot. I do this because I know it's what I'm supposed to do. Theological programming, you know, it's just rattle, 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 honk, beep, beep, you know. We can get into that. Those of you who have been door-to-door soul winning for any length of time, you know, and you can just hit that tape recorder. Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm from, you know, Tabernacle Baptist Church. We're just around this neighborhood passing out gospel, John and Romans, inviting people out to church. You go to church anywhere, and enter answer here. You understand what I'm saying? You've been there. It's not the way God wants it for us. But if we go and then we pray, God will move on your heart to soften it more towards those people you can't get along with. And God will soften their heart towards you as well. Amen. Someone once said, I forget who said it, but it says, I've never had an enemy I've ever met. Meaning everyone he meets is his friend. And one person says, I don't want to meet you because I don't want to stop, I don't want to stop hating you. I can't remember the whole story. I wish I could. But anyway, back to the story here that Christ had with the deaf man. And the Bible says, even though they asked him, just put his hands upon him. Why? Well, he had touched a woman. Well, he didn't touch. The woman touched the hem of his garment. It was made whole from the issue of blood. He had touched the eyes of the blind man and made his eyes to see. So they understood that if Christ just touched him, he would be whole. But as Matthew said, they brought to him the blind and the lame and every manner of sickness and disease they brought before him. And it could have become to them like a religious or a supernatural duck, duck, goose ministry of be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. God doesn't work that way. Remember I said God's always interested in the one-on-one relationship, and that's what happens right here. Even though he said, Lord, touch him. Well, the Lord has other plans for this deaf man. The Bible says in verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude. No other person he ever saves or deals with he ever takes aside than this deaf man. He doesn't do it with the lame man. He doesn't do it with the blind man. Zacchaeus comes to him at night, or not Zacchaeus, Nicodemus came to him at night. That was on his own affair. Every other time Christ heals or does anything, he always leaves them where they are. The deaf man, he actually separates. I find that a little interesting. But he separates him from the people and gets him one-on-one. So that deaf man's now looking right at Christ. And the Bible says that he puts his fingers into his ears. Now the Greek doesn't say whether Jesus put his fingers into his own ears or into the ears of the deaf man. I don't know. Forsake the fact that I'm going to say he did not touch the man. I'm going to say Jesus put his fingers into his own ears. And that deaf man could understand what he was saying. It was the first recorded instance of sign language. Yeah, I've got a problem. I can't hear. The Bible then says that he opened his mouth and spit and touched his tongue. And I'm not going to spit because you'll never have me back. He touched his tongue, and that deaf man understood. Yeah, I open my mouth. I try to speak, and it just falls to the ground. It accomplishes nothing. Yeah, I've got a problem. The Bible says, in looking up, he sighed and said, Ephphatha. Waiting to see how she signs this. Okay. He says, Ephphatha. That is, be opened. And the Bible says that after a cochlear implant and 6 months of physical therapy, it wasn't a joke. What does your Bible say? So no therapy involved? No speech practice involved? No surgery? No pre-miracle checkup? Post-miracle checkup? Nothing like that? Instantaneous. Straightway, the Bible says that the strings of his tongue was loosed and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I find it very interesting that Jesus Christ here, obviously, no, Mark chapter 16, Matthew 28, Acts chapter 1. You have Jesus Christ telling us to go, to tell, declare. And yet here, he says, don't tell. Don't spread this news around that I've done this. And yet the more he tells them don't, the more they do. This is not Christ actually using reverse psychology. Christ can do miracles. He didn't come to do miracles. Christ became famous. He didn't come to become famous. Oh, Christ could feed multitudes. And though he does feed multitudes, it wasn't always in the way that they wanted him to. See, Christ's real purpose to coming on this earth was to take your sin and mine and to die upon a cross. That is the message he once declared. Amen. Not a health, wealth, prosperity. For you see, the Bible says that all who live godly will suffer persecution. Anyone who tells you that this is your best life now has no intent of you reaching heaven. Let me say this again. Anyone who's going to tell you to have your best life right now has no intent on helping you or anyone you know getting to heaven with God. The Bible says that they lead to the door and then they forbid men from going in. He calls them snakes, whited sepulchers. Our loving Savior uses some pretty strong language when referring to those type of people. So much so that when he talked to Peter about him dying on the cross, Peter says, not so, Lord. Get behind me, Satan. Now, Peter was a prophet. He could handle such things. But that had to hurt. After the resurrection, meeting the two on the road to Emmaus, and they thought that he was to redeem all of Israel from the Roman Empire, and they says, oh, well, Jesus Christ, you know, he prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and all these things had happened. He died, and since 3 days have passed since those things have been. And he looks at these two disciples and he says, oh, fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Christ desires that the message of salvation through his atonement on the cross is what we proclaim. And here these people get more excited about deaf people learning to hear than sometimes we do about dead men learning to live. Let it not be said of us. Let it not be our heart. Let us not get so wrapped up that we forget what Christ has done for even ourselves. But let us go with strength and with boldness and proclaim this truth. Now, looking at how Christ dealt with this deaf man, the same way I deal with hearing and deaf alike. You see, if I go over to Africa and I go to the deaf person, I say, you have a problem. Hey, buddy, you have a problem. They're going to look at me and they're going to say, you got a problem. And to be fair, I don't believe that God wants me to go around say, Ephthetha, 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 as if it's some sort of hocus pocus that they're going to miraculously learn to hear. I don't think the deaf people would really want me to do that. Instead, I say, hey, friend, you've got a problem. The problem is your heart. They're going to say, what do you mean, my heart? What's wrong with it? I say, the Bible says that your heart is evil. It says it desperately wicked. It desires evil things. Who can know it? They say, well, prove it. Prove my heart evil. Prove it. I say, how many of you have ever told a lie? You know, be honest. How many of you have lied? Okay? What do you call someone who lies? A liar. What does that make us? What does that make me? A liar, thank you. That makes me a liar. Well, the Bible says in Revelations 21:9 that the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and whoremongers and adulterers and idolaters and sorcerers and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I'm already not in a good crowd. As a liar, I'm already in trouble. You see, God is truth. A lie is not a perversion. It is an inversion of God's very nature and character. He shouldn't let liars into heaven. But the Bible also says, thou shalt not steal. How many of us have stolen anything, regardless of its value? Some of you aren't raising your hands, but you already admitted me you're liars. That's okay. So I raised my hand for both of them. What does that make me? A lying thief. The Bible says, thou shalt not take the name thy Lord God in vain. To take the God of creation, the Ancient of Days, the holiest of holy, and to use his name as a cuss word and drag it through the sewers of our colorful vocabulary. The Bible calls that blasphemy. How many of us have ever done that in our life? Now I'm a blasphemous lying adult, a lying thief, right? The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus says, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Well, how many lying, thieving adulterers have you had behind this pulpit, Pastor? I'm being open and I'm being honest with you. If I had to stand before God on Judgment Day, would it be innocent or guilty? Guilty. Heaven or hell? Of course it'd be hell. You mean I'm not going to heaven? Isn't God good? Won't he just let me into heaven? See, some people say a good God won't send anyone to hell. They're asking the wrong question. Why would a righteous God love any of us? Have I not just proved you're the exact opposite of God in his character and nature and in being? Well, why do we die? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, it is God that gave us life. Acts 17:24, he is the God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth. He dwelt not in temples made with hands, neither is served with man's hands, as though he needs anything. But he gives to all life and breath and all things. If God is life, God is truth. And I come to a decision. I accept and tell the truth, or I accept and tell a lie. And I accept to tell the lie. He is truth and he is life. What is the lie associated with? Exactly. I die because I chose death. That's why we die. Our sin is a rejection of God, and God is the only source of life. If you choose to reject life, you can only incur death. That is why it says the wages of sin is death. However, the Bible doesn't just leave us there. He does say that the gift of God to the righteous is eternal life. No, he doesn't say that. That's okay. It's a trick question. The Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That the sign language we use is who any, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, you might have been wearing a mask. You may have been, the word is mock, the Christian faith, pretending. As Brother Matt was, maybe you've come to church as on the bus route or something. You've been religious, but you've never made it personal in your life. You've never accepted Jesus Christ alone. You've been working on your own works. You've been depending on church membership. You've been depending on different things, but you've never said, "Lord, I am unworthy of thy grace, yet you give it to me freely. I want to accept and become your son." The Bible says, "To as many as receive him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God." And tonight, you, through accepting of Jesus Christ alone, can be an heir with him. For those of you who have been saved, this is the message for the nations. I showed you this morning, or this afternoon, rather. We all have different senses of humor. Every culture has its own sense of humor. Every language has its own culture. And every people group have their own physical needs and such. But the one thing that unifies us all is that we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God, and we are all going to hell apart from the grace of Jesus Christ. There are no Baptist preachers in Gabon. And even among the deaf around the world, there's very few who are going to reach them with the gospel. God does not sweep them under the carpet. God demands that they come to know him as Savior. You see, the Bible says that the time of their ignorance God winked at, but now requireth every man everywhere to repent. If you've never settled that in your life, tonight, settle it. And if you are saved, you ought to have a burden to help other people settle it themselves and make it your goal, as Christ has left you here to do, to reach the lost with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, everything you have done through human history has been preparing the stage for the proclamation of the gospel. Those of us who know history cannot get away from it, that you have blessed those that would bless both Israel and proclaim your word, and you will curse any nation that doesn't. The Bible even says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Yet you have set the stage so that people from America and other lands, they have the ability to go out and proclaim a truth. Lord, tonight, you're calling some to receive you for the first time. Others, you are calling to go and to proclaim this message around the world. Lord, let us go. Let us not just send our prayers and our monies, but let us send ourselves, yielding ourselves to your work. And Lord, we pray specifically for those who work within the deaf and for those who will come and surrender for the deaf ministry, that you give them boldness, give them strength. Use their hands, use their hearts. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.